AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Brett again.
Again.
Brett, it sucks to be you, but I mean, still nice to have you here. I got a massage today. She had, you know, rough hands, man. she found every nook and cranny. Oh, yes. This is, I got three kids. This hair is gone for a reason. You know, I was reminded of a great story. My youngest daughter, when she was two, you've been to the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, correct, Brett?
Yep.
Have you been up to the modern arts section up there? I think it's third floor, kind of towards the far end of the building.
Not sure, no.
All right. They have a Picasso statue up there. It's baboon car. It's Picasso. It's a baboon that looks like a car. You have to go see it. It's better than Salvador Dali's lobster phone. I mean, he was just mailing that in. And I don't care. I don't care. Bring it, Salvador Dali fans. Bring it. He's just mailing that one in. Anyway, but it baboon car. So we were at the museum, and this is when my daughter was two, so this, you know, almost 10 years ago. And I kind of look around at, you know, some weird art, you know, because it's weird art, you know, it's the deal. And my daughter proceeds to put her hand on the Picasso and just start smacking it, you know, like that, you know. Now, I don't know how you would feel about your two-year-old violently attacking a Picasso sculpture, but for me, I lost how much time in my life in that moment? I don't know, 3-4 years. Heck, I'm on borrowed time as it is, I think, right now. So I'm like, ah! And I run over and do not hit the $30 million sculpture. To which the guard comes up and goes, dude, man, it happens all the time. It's a bronze and it's firmly attached to the podium. Don't worry.
So then you proceeded to start hitting it.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly. That was my last day ever visiting the MIA. No, that was, oh, God. Oh, man. Seriously. This is why we had to have a conversation with the Children's Museum and their touch and feely kind of existence they have over in St. Paul. You ruined it. Because when a kid all of a sudden starts smacking something that you could see on antique roadshows, like, where did you get this? This is a one of a kind. We can't let you leave the building with this. This is worth at least $20 million. You know, when your kid's attacking that, yeah. So I have to have a little downtime. And I got a massage, and it's always nice. This is, you know, I'm dead serious. I'm an easygoing guy. You can just get me a massage on my birthday, a massage on Christmas, and I'm good. There you go. Finished. Twice a year, let me go in there, do your magic with your hands for 1 hour. Let me choose the delightful scent that I get the massage oil in. I think today was pine. So the studio today smells like one of those hanging car air fresheners. That's me. New car smell. That's Matt.
You should be nice and relaxed. And
oh, God, no, man. Dear God. I'm relaxed. I am relaxed. I'm in this kind of weird euphoria. Like if you get done with a really good yoga session, you know, you're kind of like, you know, I hate life because I got to run around, but I feel good while I hate it. You know, I'm good. That's kind of like this. I got to tell you, okay, let me start off with one for you. Apparently, and this one is so mind-boggling. How is Trump this bad at his job? He downgraded the diplomatic status of the EU. The EU, the European Union, one of our closest allies. He downgraded the diplomatic status of them and then didn't tell them that he had downgraded their diplomatic status. They figured it out when it was the George H.W. funeral, and, you know, with diplomatic status comes, you know, you get invites to official state funerals and stuff, and they weren't getting the invites. And so they asked the State Department, why aren't we getting these invites? And the State Department says to, and once again, this is Trump's State Department, they say, oh, well, we've downgraded your diplomatic status. And they said, well, why did you do that? And we said, we have no idea. You have to ask the White House. So why did you tell us? We forgot. And this is the State Department. This is the State Department talking to one of our closest allies. We forgot. How are you this bad at your job? How are you this bad? Hey, Bob, did you get that stuff on the pallet and put it in the truck? What truck? The truck that left 2 hours ago. You remember the stuff I told you needs to go on that pallet, goes to the truck? No, I didn't do that. What? Why not? Why didn't you do that? Well, I put it on another truck. What truck did you put it on? I don't know. I just didn't want to put it on that truck, so I put it on a different truck. What truck did you put it on? We need that stuff back. I have no idea. It was just a truck out there in the bays. I put it on the truck. Why didn't you tell me? I forgot. That guy would be fired. That guy would be fired. How is he this bad at his job? I think he's tonight. He's going to say, I'm going to declare a national. I think he knows he cannot win on the border wall with the House and the Senate. I think he's going to try to declare a national emergency at the border to try to force, you know, to allocate, I guess, you know, those people who are supposed to be helping the hurricane victims down in Florida. Well, they're going to get moved over to start building a wall, I guess. And this is, yeah, and then he's going to basically get the government back working again because he knows he can't win with this. So he's going to basically say, I'll declare a national emergency, send me a clean bill, I'll get the government refunded, we'll reopen it up tomorrow, and then he'll let the courts decide whether or not you can declare a national emergency on something like this and get it funded. That's going to be my guess of what's going to happen tonight. But God, he just, everything this guy does, I mean, the whole thing with the border wall, 4,000 people come through. No, six. Seven times as many people have been caught on the Canadian border. Seriously, seven times as many people, people on the terrorist watch list have been caught trying to get into America on the Canadian border than have been trying to get caught on the southern border with Mexico. How is he this bad at his job? How is he this bad at his job? I got to get into what's going down in the House and the Senate right now, especially Kurt Doubt's having a massive hissy fit. It is delightful. I'll get to that in a second. Diane is in St. Louis Park. Let's get her call in here before we go to that. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Just a thought about the wall here. A short time ago on your AM 950 Amy Goodman show.
Yes.
There was an author or some important person, maybe the lady who wrote The Shock Doctrine. But anyway, she was saying that there's planned evisceration of, like, a lot of our social programs. I think the upper classes would just kind of like to get rid of Social Security, Medicare, all those kind of things. And so, and my husband said kind of lightheartedly, he said, yeah, this wall is probably to keep us from being able to escape how bad America is going to get. So it's probably a reverse psychology thing, you know, that isn't that a possible thing?
I will say this, and Diane, it's like Republicans just don't know how to govern. They know how to hate Hillary Clinton. They know how to hate Barack Obama. They know how to give tax dollars back to the wealthy people, but they don't know how to do any other damn thing. And this is the epitome of it. And, you know, and the question, where are the Senate Republicans trying to rein him in? You don't know. I mentioned Kurt Doubt is having an absolute hissy fit on the floor. Now, Melissa Hortman is now officially the speaker. She was nominated and sworn in by Paul Thiessen on the Minnesota Supreme Court. Good to see that. Good to see Paul there. Watching Sally Jo Sorensen from Bluestem Prairie's Twitter feed, and it's just delightful because Doubt is now they're putting in all these rules in place, basically just to stop stuff like Omnibus Prime, which was Kurt Doubt and Joyce Pepin. Those were the two clowns that basically went into a room, ignored everything else, went into a room, put down a laundry list of stuff they wanted to vote on that no one else got to see. Then they attached a whole bunch of bills that had pretty much bipartisan support to the bill. And then threw it out. It was 1,000 pages. Everyone had 20 minutes or so to look at it. I can't remember the exact time. And then they had to vote. It was Omnibus Prime. It was a god-awful way to legislate. And the Democrats are putting in new rules because that was one of the big problems people had was the way things went at the end of last session. So Kurt Doubt is officially clutching his pearls, and he's having a hissy fit. Kurt Doubt apparently saying that all bills sent to committees in the past were heard and voted on. What is he talking about? But that's not even the dumbest thing he said. He said Doubt basically says no DFL members live more than 20 miles from the Capitol. We have a few guys from the range. John Purcell is by Bemidji. Duluth, we got my majority whip is from Duluth. Got Rochester. What's he talking about? Is he trying to pull a Trump where he says something and then just all Republicans believe it? Because this ain't Alabama. This ain't Wisconsin. This is Minnesota. And as much as Republicans might not like Democrats, I think they know where Duluth is. I think they know where Bemidji is. Ryan Winkler stands at the point, doubts accusations about rules are false. This after, Hortman reminds him personal attacks are discouraged. Let's see here. Optics are the Dowd Amendment aren't looking good. He's putting out amendments. Basically, he wants to keep things the way they are. He doesn't want to change how the rules are in the House about bills coming to the floor, and he's having he's basically throwing a hissy fit. John Lesh points out this isn't an A game winning game. Looks like for people who are following at home, it doesn't look like he's making any sense. Tweeting about excuse me. Dave Baker, who was hamstrung with opiate legislation last session by pharma lobbyists and GOP leadership last session, shamelessly uses issues to cry about the new rules. He's going on there. Draskowski says, for those watching at home, you wonder what we're talking about. Actually, I know what they're talking about, and it's Draz who thinks people like me can be hoodwinked by this malarkey. It just keeps going and going. Concern trolling about transparency become Kurt Doubt because someone was watching at home seduced by his performance. Oscar and Slipper Paws left the room. She's talking about her cats. Doubt gets to his pointy finger. Winkler stays calm. Doubt, if this doesn't raise a red flag for you, talks about eating cookies again. This rhetoric, I don't know. Doubt seems to be going nuts. He's a meltdown on Ryan Winkler because he's challenging him. And, it's at the end of the day, it's basically thanks to Kurt Doubt. This is from Greg Hansen. Thanks for Kurt Doubt reminding the voters of Minnesota that the choices they made in November were the right ones. This seems like what Doubt's whole game plan is right now, is just to basically try to gum up the works as much as possible with procedural motions and crap like that to basically make sure nothing gets done in the House. And so he can go back and say, see, they didn't get anything done either. So, Kurt, I got news for you. First of all, I don't think anyone's that stupid to fall for that. Second of all, you're the ones who are going to go into next election with Trump. The guy that shut down the federal government. Yeah, that guy. That hurt you. I don't know if you saw what happened to your majority last election because of Trump. But you guys are saddled with that clown car, and you basically have to figure out how you're going to win. You sitting there and just trying to implode everything. We're smarter than this, Kurt. And you might be able to win Crown or Frown or whatever, wherever your district is. But the reality is most of us are not going to take this crud, especially when all you're doing is just trying to bait Democrats and trying to get, you're throwing a temper tantrum. Doubt is throwing a temper tantrum on the House floor right now. It's a good thing we did get rid of him. When we do return, I got to go over the Republicans. I don't know if they know what the heck they want to do with their budget. There's a story out of the Star Tribune. I'll get into that a little bit later on. And then Philip Byther is going to join us. He's a curator of performing arts at the Walker. They've got their big event coming up. They've started their whole new schedule that's starting up here, starting on Thursday. We'll talk to him about that. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed, and buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
A fantastic lunch is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Start with their delicious wings, Milton-style, buffalo, barbecue, or naked. Or try their famous barbecue rib nachos. They've got great lunch options, like their grilled sandwiches, the ribeye, the chicken, and the portobello mushroom. Try the fantastic fried egg with asparagus and ciabatta, and their jerk chicken sandwich. Or change it up with a Milton's Cobb salad, a chopped jerk chicken salad, or their warm and satisfying soups. Lunch today will be delicious if you head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in friendly Crystal.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. Hey, I've only got a few seconds, so here's the deal. Habitation is the coolest furniture store in town. Not only have we got some of the most exceptional furniture in the cities, but in many cases, Habitation can offer you store credit on your existing furniture. Stop in, talk to one of our designers, and let us help you make your home exceptional. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. You can sponsor AM 950. We sure love it if you would like to. That is always good fun. You can call us 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 is the phone number. You can get in touch with us. Todd Collett is, of course, a sponsor of the station. He lives in Spain. Ooh la la, lucky dog. He is, of course, got a brand new CD out. His band's Just Folk. We've talked about them many times. Beacon of Light is the sixth song from that. We're going to put up the link to the CD Baby link on that. You can listen to it at CD Baby. Beacon of Light from Just Folk. This is the latest song that's coming off their album there. It's Grounded is the latest album. This one, once again, go check that out. I put up the link to YouTube last night, so if you want to go see it there, you can. Once again, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885, if you'd like more information on sponsoring the station. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
Well, Matt, the first thing I want to do is remind the listeners that Trump and the campaign promised to get rid of the carried interest tax break for the bankers, and so they pay their fair share of taxes a little bit more, which hasn't happened. He forgot about that. And then $1 trillion or more to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure, he forgot about that. So he don't keep his promises that matter. And then I want to say something else. That so-called Republican, what they call liberal media, I was watching it the other day, about a week ago, and they're all dismayed because the Democrats got the House now. We ain't going to get nothing done. So what do they want to get done? Bomb Iran, destroy Medicare and Obamacare completely, keep marking up our pharmaceutical prices, and more tax giveaways for the billionaires. That's what they must want done, huh?
Here's what I'll say, and thanks, Gare. If you're going to get upset about the Democrats holding the House, why aren't you more upset about the Republicans having control of everything and not getting anything done? So, speaking of which, the Republicans, Senate leaders rolled out their first five measures on Tuesday morning, signaling some of their top priorities of the session. This is the Minnesota Senate, Gazelka, in charge out there. The bills will focus on mental health, child care, health care costs, government accountability, and simplifying the tax code. Now, House Democrats will unveil their first telling proposals on Wednesday, which will likely closely mirror the Minnesota Values Plan they released in September. Legislators share some big goals, like making health care more affordable. Senate Republicans say they want to do that by increasing transparency in health care bills and by insurance patients can select their doctor and shop around for service. The shop around for service is a little trick there. They want to open up the state laws so that these fraudulent health care companies in Texas and Oklahoma and South Dakota could come in here and offer junk programs again. Once again, when the Affordable Care Act kicked in, Obama didn't take away your doctor or your health care plan. You had a crap health care plan, which was illegal by the law. That was illegal. It didn't cover you. You were paying money into it, and God forbid you actually got sick, you weren't going to be able to get anything done. It might have gotten you a flu shot every year, but that was it. And now they want to bring those junk plans back. That's their idea of this. And they say, see, people have their choice by buying something that they're, you know, is being promised to them, which is not there. So there, yeah, that's not good. Also, Democrats said in their September plan that they, like Democrat Waltz, want to allow everyone to buy into Minnesota Care and see that as a stepping stone towards universal health care. Both sides of the aisle are also made helping families a priority. Democrats say they want to add more money to community-based child care and work with expanding public pre-K with an aim of taking it, making it universally available to Minnesota. Republicans say they intend to make child care more affordable by cutting regulations on providers. Huh? Yeah, okay. So let me get this right. I'm a provider. I'm charging, say, $100 a day to watch someone's kid, and now I got regulations that mean it's going to cost me $80 a day. Ooh, yeah, I'm going to drop my price. Or am I going to pocket the other 20? Republicans, how stupid are you? Of course they're not going to cut the cost there. They're going to charge the same amount and pocket the difference. God, you guys are fools, man. You guys are fools. Senator Bill Weber, Republican Laverne, raised concerns with universal pre-K, saying daycare providers' income usually largely comes from 3- and 4-year-olds, and watching infants and toddlers is expensive due to regulations. If the state of Minnesota comes forward with universal pre-K and for 4-year-olds, you will destroy what is left of the rest of their daycare system, he said. Okay, wait a minute here. You guys are charging an outrageous amount of money for daycare. Okay, you are. You've been doing it for years. We, in the state of Minnesota, under the leadership of Mark Dayton, decide to expand out pre-K, not only because it basically would give a cheaper option for many families to get a kid into a school, into a pre-K system, but as well, it starts the education system at a younger age, which is a bigger benefit as well. Then your argument is, how dare they? We should be forcing people to pay the premium price. Shut up, man. Seriously, is this your argument that the government, because the private daycare providers were charging so much money that was driving people into not having to have daycare, or, you know, basically having to haul kids to work or whatever the case may be. And so we basically expand pre-K to give people an option to get the kids into school earlier, start the education system a little bit earlier, and get a lower, you know, a lower cost daycare option on the table. And your argument is, why can't we gouge these people of every dime they've got? God, Republicans are broken. And they are really broken on one other thing, too. So Democrats want to spend money on broadband, on health care. They want to spend it on roads and bridges. I mean, that's the gas tax, right? He wants to, Tim Walz, as the governor, wants to expand the tax, the gas tax. And so basically what you're going to get is a, you know, you're going to get a case where that money gets applied to roads and bridges. All right. Makes sense. Makes sense. So the Republicans say, well, you can't do that because you have a $1.5 billion budget surplus, so that money should be what you spend on bridges and roads, and you shouldn't spend another dime. Now, it's laughable. You think you're going to be able to fix all the bridges and roads in this state that are needing repair with just $1.5 billion. But wait a minute here. You also have said that you're going to get the cost of health care down because of the $1.5 billion surplus, and you've also said you're going to give a massive tax rebate to people because of the $1.5 billion surplus. Republicans, what is it? You have a choice. You're basically, your options are either $1.5 billion for tax cuts, $1.5 billion for roads and bridges, and $1.5 billion for healthcare. You think that you can keep saying, oh, we'll just use it for that, and that doesn't, you know, give you a, you don't have to actually follow through with paying for the projects. What is it? Are you going to spend the money, the surplus, on a tax cut for the wealthy? And let's just be honest, this is what the Republicans really want to do. They want to make it seem like they're doing something and giving money back to the people. The reality is they want to give almost all that $1.5 billion surplus to the wealthiest Minnesotans. That's all the Republicans want to do. That is all they want to do. So they're talking about, hey, we want to spend money on roads and bridges. And then they'll say, oh, we want to spend money on healthcare. But then they'll basically try to force the tax cut so that they can come back at the end and say, well, we only had $1.5 billion, so we had to give a tax cut. And most of that had to go to the wealthy people because they're the job creators. And that's going to be the end of it. The Republicans' own plans are just nightmarish. And so it's like, you know, once again, they want to, on mental health, I think that's one area. I think there's actually, there was a lot of bills that passed last session, if I'm not mistaken, that had a pretty universal support. So hopefully that gets, some of that stuff gets done. Childcare, basically by stopping the pre-K programs in the state of Minnesota so that people are forced to pay a premium price for a private daycare option as opposed to a pre-K option. Then the other thing, healthcare costs, which, you know, once again, that's money that they're saying should go to a tax cut, not to healthcare, but that's where they're saying it's going to be. And of course, we should also put the junk plans back in that. Government accountability. You're the least accountable party I've ever seen in my entire life. And simplifying the tax code. Oh, the tax code. Tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. That's all the Republicans say. They don't have any idea of how to actually take care of their own constituents. They just scream tax cuts and think that that's somehow a magic word. Like, you know, you say Beetlejuice three times and he appears. So... And by the way, once again, if you're missing it, and there'll be obviously some news coverage of this tomorrow, I'll talk about it tomorrow. Kurt Dowd's having an absolute hissy fit on the House floor right now. Democrats, one last favor for me, okay? He's desperately going to try to get enough of you guys to peel off the House majority to help him basically try to force the governor's hand. Don't trust Kurt Dowd. He's a lying jackass. Kurt Dowd is a lying jackass. Is that clear? Did I say that clearly enough? Kurt Dowd is a lying jackass. Do not trust him. Do not go along with him. He will stab you in the back anytime he can, and he is only in it for himself. And that's why he's having his own little temper tantrum on the House floor right now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Philip Byther joins us from The Walker. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Total Dog Company is the destination dog food and gear store on the west side of the Twin Cities, with easy access off of 169. We have a growing group of loyal customers and increasing numbers of referrals from dog professionals and dog parents because we carry quality products, give sound advice, and are easy to do business with. Total Dog Company keeps up on the latest developments in dog nutrition and products. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know I purchased my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchased, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Cards keep you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
And it's not even noted that Kurt Dowd put the mute button in the House, for God's sakes. Kurt Dowd can officially shut up. Transparency, you were muting the Democratic members to stifle debate. They're basically going to pass a rule in the House to prevent that from ever happening again. I hope that passes, because that was one of the most disgusting anti-democratic things I've ever seen. The Speaker of the House putting a mute button in to shut up the opposition party when he just didn't want to hear from them. Programming here brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the Week, Victor's 1959 Cafe, open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, offering casual Cuban recipes, delicious food. I love the breakfast over there. Go try it any time of the day, though. 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis, Victor's 1959 Cafe is the EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week. Philip Byther has joined us a few times before to talk about things going on in the Walker. He's the director and senior curator of performing arts, and that's a good thing for him because they've got their big festival kicking out, coming up here. Out There 2019 starts on Thursday. Philip is kind enough to join us to talk about this year's festival. Hi, Philip.
Hey, Matt. It's great to be with you.
Good to be with you. Thanks for coming on back, man.
Absolutely. It's a joy.
Hey, first thing I want to say is this. I didn't realize you'd been there for 21 years. Nice job.
Yeah. It's gone by like just a spark of time. So I've loved being here at the Walker, and you know, I get to bring artists from all over the world who we think are at the forefront of new art forms. And this is especially a great time of year because we're just a few days away from launching this Out There festival that we do every January.
You know, it's by the way, and you being there for 21 years, that's just another reason why the Walker is one of the great museums in this country, is that you have, you know, curators like yourself who are there for as long. That brings in such, you know, experience, professionalism. It's just such a, I'm glad you're there. I really am.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Out There 2019 has a real international reputation. You go on out and you find some of the real breaking edge artists that are out there, and you give them the performance platform they deserve.
Well, it is a long process of programming each season, and I'm really get to go to festivals and gatherings of artists in different parts of the world and meet with artists, see their work, talk with them about what they're working on next, and then when the moment is right, invite them to come and show their work here in the Twin Cities. And it's really, I think, this kind of festival has helped put the Twin Cities on the map, certainly in contemporary performance and, you know, forms of new styles of theater.
I do want to also mention that the opening night is on Thursday, correct?
That's right, yeah.
All righty.
We open on Thursday with a Lebanese artist and now based in Berlin, and he is doing three different kinds of pieces that really reflect the way the arts are going these days, where artists are making all kinds of different styles of work. So we open a small exhibition of his visual art. He does a really interesting lecture performance, and then the next night we launch the world premiere of a new theater work that he's made with two other colleagues from Lebanon.
You know, part of what I do is I think it's part of my job to try to, you know, for lack of a better way to say, dumb things down for the general public here. You are working on such a level, and you're like playing Vulcan chess while the rest of us are playing checkers. And so it's kind of one of those things where you're at a different level. I had a friend when I was telling him that I'm going to be interviewing you again. He had said, well, I imagine he just has to try to find the craziest thing to one up the last exhibit. I said, no, I know it's a lot more complicated than that. And that's why I said, okay, I need to ask you this. You go around, you go to these festivals, you go out and expose yourself to these, you know, kind of up and coming artists that are doing performance pieces. What are you looking for when you say, okay, I got to get you to be part of this year's festival?
Well, you know, believe it or not, it really does come down to, have I ever seen something quite like this before? And did it hit me emotionally? Did it feel like it was both formally and kind of artistically really exquisitely done, but also did it have meaning for me? And I think what I think the audiences in the Twin Cities might like to see or be exposed to. So, and you know, the artists of our world are really like the canaries in the coal mine. They're reflecting the world we live in right now. And you'll see this in Out There. It tackles and confronts, either directly or indirectly, a lot of the issues, political, social, that our world is facing right now. And I do this kind of work because I feel like we have to look to the artists to poetically reimagine the worlds that we hope to live in and to directly address the issues that we're confronting in our time.
Just leaving the politics of the day out of this here, are you noticing that? I mean, because when I know a lot of people who said a few years ago, well, one of the things that's going to happen is we're going to end up having a sensational arts community in the next few years because there's such conflict going on in America today. And I mean, is that something that you're seeing? Is that this that there we're starting to see real adventurous change and challenges by these artists to try to create something new that, you know, you can see is it's there's an acceleration here because of the times that we're in?
Yeah, without a doubt. There's not a single artist that I talk to who says that they, as people and their work, is not reflective in some way of the turmoil that we're living in right now. And I think, you know, it doesn't mean it has to be highly didactic work or pieces that clobber you over the head with the message they want to deliver. It's often done in very subtle and nuanced ways, very human ways. And I think that's reflective of each of these four pieces we're bringing in this January. It is a time when things get so desperate and difficult where the arts often play an added important role, I think, in society, just to sort of reflect back to us, maybe not the same way that journalism does or direct news reporting, but in ways through a poetic or an artistic lens that that the issues of our time come to the forefront.
So let's talk about the way this is set up by The Walker. It's basically over a series of the extended weekends coming up here, starting this week. Each week is basically a different show, correct?
Yes, that's right. And each of these component parts, each of these four productions we're bringing in, come from different parts of the world.
So let's go over these really quick if we can here.
Yeah,
starting with this
sure.
weekend with the one you were talking about with the opening night performance, and how do you say
he pronounces his name Rabia More, and he's actually been with us twice before, and he is a fascinating guy. He makes visual art, he makes theater, he makes lectures, and all kinds of different things. And he is, he's been seared by the Lebanese civil war that he and his colleagues that perform with us this weekend live through. They all ended up gravitating a few years ago to Berlin, but they continue to return to Lebanon, and they continue to confront issues of conflict, war, and also just the bigger human issues involved with what the Middle East has been going through.
And that's starting this weekend. I mean, the opening night on Thursday with a special exhibit, but Friday and Saturday in the McGuire Theater, correct?
That's right. Yeah, it's a new, brand new piece of theater that I've been in and out of the theater the last 10 days. They've been doing the final development of the piece here, and it's a commission by The Walker, so it's brand new to the world. And we've got some folks coming from France, from New York, from elsewhere, traveling in to see this piece. And it's called Borborygmus, and it's a darkly ironic piece that is about three middle-aged artists who are trying to grapple with the failures of our time and the failures that they've witnessed in the Middle East in particular and in Lebanon.
And that is, once again, I want to say, even though this is going to be going on for the entire month of January, this is for what we're describing now is for this weekend only.
That's right.
You had said you've explored the world and bringing in artists from all over the place. Where are some of the other artists from for later in the month?
Yeah, the other artists come, a collective of artists come from New York City the second week. The third week, we have artists coming in from Brussels who make a very interesting style of mix of film and theater. And the final week are artists from Argentina and from the UK for the final closing kind of largest scale production we have in the whole festival.
Is that the Lola...
Lola Arias?
Yes.
Yeah. And she's a director, very interesting woman from Buenos Aires, but she had this notion to do a piece about human conflict, war in particular, and she took on one of the smallest wars that we've witnessed in our lifetimes, the Falklands War, or the Malvinas War, they call it in Argentina. And she went and interviewed dozens of veterans in England as well as in Argentina, and she ended up hiring three of them from Argentina and three from the UK to basically form a company and tell stories. These guys were battling each other 35 years ago, and now they've formed a company to tell stories of what that what they experienced in the war. And in the end, they form a collective of middle-aged guys, mostly in their late 50s, who tell these incredibly poignant and fascinating stories, and in the end form a rock band together and play on stage. It's a great, beautiful piece of theater that very successful in the 20 countries it's already traveled to, but has never come to the States.
And I think I've heard of that before, and the reason why is that I know this. If you go to Argentina, they do not like the British, and if you go to England, they don't like the Argentinians. I mean, this is something that, for us, our perspective is so skewed because this really never affected us, but there is still a lot of animosity between those two countries because of that war. And so for this piece to be out there, I mean, that sounds phenomenal, and especially the rock band at the end.
Well, she found out one of the guys she hired to be in the piece, and it was a year-long process to put this together because, you know, she's grappling not just with non-actors, but people really telling their own life stories through this conflict, and a lot of trauma that came up in the process of this. So, you know, we're in fact hoping every place it stopped in its tour in the world, veterans from the various wars in those countries have turned out because they can really relate to some of the stories. But even though it's about this conflict between the UK and Argentina, it really has universal qualities about human conflict in general, and in the end, kind of the banality of war in general, which this, I think, conflict is really reflective of. It's funny at times, too, and she found out one of these Argentine guys leads his own Beatles tribute band, which is ironic in and of itself. You know, they're playing Beatles music in Argentina, she saw that as a way to kind of corral all the performers into this band that plays a few Beatles tunes and then has a final kind of punk rock number at the end.
I'm very glad that Walker does this for January because it sure does give the city a very, very cool event to go out and hang out in, especially since it's every weekend. The Out There Festival is 2019. And once again, let's just make sure, Rabia More.
Rabia More is this Friday and Saturday, and an interesting free lecture performance that he does on Thursday, a different piece. And then the second week, a woman named Kaneza Shawl, and a piece about reentry and the black experience of a particular guy who came out of prison and is now a lead role in this piece, and it's called Jack And. And then the third week is this piece from Brussels called Vizdal, which is about the Chernobyl nuclear meltdown, but a couple in their 80s who lived through it and still living there in their farm near the Chernobyl crisis or meltdown. And then the Minefield piece by Lola Arias is the final week of the Out There series, January 31st to the 2nd of February.
I highly recommend this. Once again, Thursday is the kickoff, and then every weekend you have something new you can go enjoy. The Walker, the website is going to have all the information, correct?
Absolutely, yep.
All right. Walker Art Center, stop on by. I'll make sure I link to everything on social media a little bit later on.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for your interest, and we hope to see lots of your listeners out there this year.
And Philip Byther, once again, thank you very much for being at the Walker, being there as long as you have, for bringing in these performance artists and having the expertise. I mean, once again, it's the Walker's a jewel, but having you there, that is such an amazing element of that museum and of the metro area. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time today, and all my best there for Out There.
Thanks so much, Matt. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, sir.
Take care.
Philip Byther is the curator over at the Walker Art Museum, and of course, just an amazing talent indeed, the director and senior curator for performing arts. Out There Festival kicks off Thursday. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
We are given the gift of intuition on how to care for ourselves and our families. But too often we forsake that knowledge for the voice of authority. Green Tea Conversations is a radio show for people like you who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and who want to play a more active role in their family's well-being. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine, and I'm excited to bring Green Tea Conversations into your home. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts straight from the pages of Natural Awakenings who will share progressive ideas and the latest natural approaches in nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living in a fun and informative way. Podcasts of the show are available anytime at naturaltwincities.com, am950radio.com, on iTunes, or anywhere you get your podcasts. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversations on Sundays at 10 a.m. as we awaken to natural health.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm dead serious, too. One of the reasons why the museums here in town are so good is that we get these curators that come in, like Philip Byther, and they stay. I mean, it's a great community. And, I mean, it's he's got a phenomenal job. He's at one of the top premier modern art museums in the world. And he gets to go on out there and find these up-and-coming artists and gets to put this whole thing together out there. Once again, if you've not been to it, sensational. And it's a great way to spend your January in Minnesota, going out there to the Walker every weekend. Go to the Walker Art Museum's website, and you can get all the tickets that you need there for whichever ones. And by the way, I'm definitely going to go check out that one with the Argentinians and the English at the end playing rock music. That sounds phenomenal. 952-946-6205. Is Kurt Dowd still having a hissy fit on the House floor? Do we know?
The minority leader. I still love that term.
The minority leader is you know, sometimes clowns can be sad, you know. our sad little clown that's Kurt Dowd, is he still crying on there? Oh, poor Curtie. Like I said, we'll give you full coverage of that tomorrow. The only person to go to trial after blocking the St. Paul freeway during a protest of the police shooting of Philando Castile saw his conviction overturned on appeal Monday. Jeffrey Berger argued before the State Court of Appeals that the guilty verdict of a misdemeanor public nuisance was unconstitutional, and the three-judge panel ruled in his favor and possibly sent a signal to law enforcement about what forms of protest warrant arrest and prosecution. The court agreed with 77-year-old Berger's contention that the state did not present sufficient evidence to establish, as state law requires, that he personally interfered with, obstructed, and rendered Interstate 94 danger for passage. On that night of July 2016, soon after Castile was shot by then St. Anthony police officer Yamando Yeto, and this is my personal opinion, murdered by then St. Paul police officer Yamando Yenes, during a traffic stop on Falcon Heights, the city attorney's offices in its prosecution failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Berger entered 94 before passage on the highway was obstructed or made dangerous. Berger of Minneapolis was one of 44 people prosecuted by the city of St. Paul for protesting on 994, according to the city attorney, Lindsay Olson. Of those, she said, 43 pleaded guilty. Berger's was the only case that went to trial. Felony riot charges against one other protester were eventually dropped last year. Then-Governor Mark Dayton vetoed the GOP-backed bill that would have increased penalties for protesters who block freeways or transit lines. There's no disputing that Berger was on the interstate with the others, some linking arms and chanting over the course of their five-hour demonstration. Berger went so far as to tell police that he was unwilling to leave and ready to be arrested. He was acquitted on an unlawful assembly count, but found guilty on creating public nuisance. He appealed his conviction with the backing of the American Civil Liberties Union and Minnesota. Berger's attorney, Perry McGarra, said in an interview that her client benefits personally by not having on his record a conviction that wasn't that wasn't fair and didn't reflect the evidence against him. He also doesn't have a stigmatic injury that comes with being found guilty. So basically what they've said is this, is that you can't prove that what he did was what the state law requires, that he personally interfered with obstruction or rendered Interstate 94 danger for passage. He personally cannot do that. If he was part of a large group, that's one thing, but he wasn't, that's not personal. And it sounds like there might be some problems with the verbiage of the law, which good luck in getting that changed at this point. Because, you know, if you're requiring an individual, what do you do there? Because you're not going to prosecute a group in mass and try to say, well, you guys as well, it was some sort of, RICO case, like that sort of thing, where you're all working together to shut down the interstate. I'm going to just say this. I said this before, I'll say this again. If this was a protest to protest Hillary Clinton, not only would all these Republicans that are so against protesting not be out there demanding these people get prosecuted, they would be sprinting as fast as they could to be at the front of the parade route so that they could shut down 94 and get tons of pictures of them doing so. This isn't about protest. This is about what they don't, a kind of protest they don't like. It was black people protesting. It was minority people protesting. It was the supporters of Philando Castile protesting. And they felt that even though this guy didn't do anything wrong to justify getting shot, and should be reminded, almost shot and killed a kid in the back seat, and yeah, God, that was just a nightmare. I mean, in my personal opinion, you Republicans should shut up for this reason, is Yanez didn't go to jail. Because you've written the laws to where, once again, a police officer can be off duty, can be drunk as a skunk, can say, I'm going to go murder this guy, run home, get a gun, come back, and blast the guy away. And as long as he said, I feared for my life, they can get away with murder. If you want to get away with murder, thanks to the Republican Party of Minnesota, you just go become a cop. You can go kill anyone you want to. As long as you just say, I was fearing for my life. That is the rule. And this is, and so you guys should not be out there. You need to allow these people to protest. If you're going to have such outrageous laws and outrageous standards that we don't, there's an entire group of people who we don't hold accountable for their actions, then you've got to expect people to be pissed off about that and be protesting and occasionally might shut down a light rail line or a highway. And before anyone says to me, well, all the traffic can't get through, it's like, it's Minneapolis, St. Paul. I know 50 routes from where I'm at right now to get over to St. Paul. If you don't know alternative routes, well, that's that. This is more about you wanting to shut them up, not about actual legitimate complaints. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.